What's shaking, everyone? My name is Colin, and with Megan, we bring you the Flight Attendant Forum, a podcast for crew, travel gurus, or anyone captivated by aviation. We are here to share our stories, secrets, and resources with you, so sit back, relax, we're glad you're here, and welcome on board. Welcome back to the Flight Attendant Forum. Just wanted to take a minute before we jump into today's episode to thank you all my listeners, all of our listeners, rather, who have downloaded and listened to the Flight Attendant Forum up until this point. We are so happy that we have found a niche in this small market. Granted, it is small, but we are doing our best to churn out as much flight attendant-related content and travel content to you, our listeners, and any new listeners who have just joined us on the Flight Attendant Forum journey. So I do want to take a minute to say thank you to all of you as well. Megan and I are doing our best to sync our schedules together in order to record more episodes and bring you new ideas and new content and new conversations that hopefully all of you can be a part of as we move forward into the rest of 2024 with the Flight Attendant Forum. Again, it is imperative that if you have not left a review and any feedback for us, if you could please do us a solid and do that if you haven't done so up to this point. It really just lets us know that what we're doing is or isn't working and how we can best curtail our approach to you, the listener, and give you the best listening experience that we are capable of. In addition, I am doing my best to get better at creating a better audio and listening experience as a whole. Not my strong suit, trying to find the free time to do it, so bear with me. Slowly getting in the right direction here. I'm learning new software and doing my best to create a better listening experience for you, our listeners, as we go forward into the future and into the rest of this year. We do have some fun content and some fun topics we're going to discuss going forward. We hope to record next week and then expect some new episodes coming out in the subsequent weeks after that. So with that being said, hope you're all having a great week. Hope you had a great Super Bowl, and whoever you are rooting for won. And whether you're a Chiefs or 49ers fan or a general football fan or a Swiftie, hope you had a great Super Bowl experience wherever you were. And we'll surely recap our Super Bowl as I hosted a Super Bowl party at my house for the big game. And we'll be recapping that. Look for that episode to drop next week or the week after and anything thereafter that. So hope you're having a great week up to this point as I come to you on February 16th on this Friday. Have a great weekend and hope you had a very beautiful and amazing Valentine's Day with someone special as we just crossed over February 14th. So if you had a great Valentine's Day, hope you had a good one. And Megan and I will talk to you soon, and I hope you enjoy today's episode and enjoy the weekend. Welcome back to the Flight Attendant Forum. Megan, hi.
Hey, Colin.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
We finally got up and recording after it took me an unforeseen amount of time to get these microphones synced up and operating again on my computer. But here we are. We are recording two mics at the same time, so thank you to YouTube and the whoever London/Australian people who put up videos of how to set up two microphones correctly on GarageBand. Thank you.
Yeah.
And here we are, back with another episode of the Flight Attendant Forum for you.
Well, did you see one of the videos was two mics, one comp, which I kept thinking just looks like the two girls, one cup video?
That's all I would naturally think too is, yeah. Why do you just go to that?
Like,
that's one of the sickest videos ever created in history.
Part of my childhood, though. That was a big deal. The internet is not the same.
Yeah, it's really not.
So.
Well, anyway, we don't need to get into that. It's just a disgusting, harrowing scene of events that takes place. And so anyway.
And now here we are.
We are coming to you from my house in Chicago, sitting on the recording couch. If you could call it that, the casting couch, if you will.
No, that's again.
Oh yeah,
that's getting gross.
Yeah, just segue to another adult film related thing. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, it's the podcast couch. We're gonna go with that.
Podcast couch. Yeah.
Anyway, what's going on?
Not a lot. We're gonna talk about where we've been since we.
Been since I last saw you?
Where have I been? I went to Miami twice.
Oh, you did go to Miami twice. That's right.
Went to Miami twice because...
Oh, and didn't you hear them call my name over the...
Yes, in
which
Denver.
I think is hilarious.
Yeah. I looked around. I was like, what?
He's here?
Yeah. Which I... that was confusing. But basically, Denver, in this week of flying, Denver had some crazy weather.
They did.
That screwed everything up.
Yes.
Probably, like, just now getting back to normal.
Yes.
But yeah, I've been to Miami a few times. Love the restaurant there, so I keep going back. Like, the restaurant in the hotel is great.
Right. Oh, we get 50% off there, which is pretty solid.
Yeah. So I literally go for lunch.
Yeah.
But I was just in San Diego for a short, like, literally, like, a 10-hour and 58 layover, like, just for the evening.
Super short.
And almost got murdered.
What do you mean you almost got murdered? What do you? And this is the first I've heard of this, so yeah, this is totally... You saved this for me,
yeah.
Which I like how you save stories for me because it just is, it's good to have my authentic reaction.
Yeah.
So what the fuck do you mean? You almost got murdered? What does that even mean?
Almost got murdered. Still coming down from it. But I, you know, it was like an early check-in. Like
you were at the Sheraton, right?
I was at the Sheraton. Yeah.
Which is great. Really beautiful.
Nice. Well, now we're telling everyone where we stay, so more chance to get murdered.
Yeah. Or, well... I mean, maybe I could, like, swing the murdering into my direction.
Yeah, thank you.
They're like, well, you know, maybe we'll give the females a break. That chill guy, yeah, he's got to go.
Yeah, let's remember that one. But so, we're at the, I'm at the hotel, I'm traveling, I'm, like, the load, I'm by myself on this trip.
Yeah.
And I have an early check-in, so, like, I'm very proud of myself, I'm in bed at, like, 9:15. Yeah,
you're all prepped, ready to go.
Yeah, like, I did all my, like, meditation,
yes,
a bunch of oils, I'm, like, sleepy. And I hear somebody opening my door.
Were you on, what floor were you on?
The fourth floor.
And your door was closed?
Door was closed, deadbolt, everything. I hear someone opening my door.
You deadbolted the door.
Well, you know, like the click.
Yeah.
Yeah, deadbolted the door.
Yeah.
And I hear someone opening it. And they do say, they say housekeeping as they're opening the
as
door.
That's... Usually you hear that obnoxious, like, clicking device that they knock on the... Which I don't even know what that is.
It's a key.
Oh, it's a key?
Yeah, it's literally just a key.
Oh, it's just a key?
Yeah.
Oh, it drives me fucking insane.
But so, they open the door, and I'm, like, freaked out, like, awoken. And I
what time? What time was this at?
Okay, it's 10 p.m.
Yeah, so it's midnight our time.
It's 10
p.m. So, yeah,
p.m.
you're ready to go to bed.
I jump out of bed and get to the door so they can hear me better. And
yeah.
I say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And I slam the door shut. Like, I, like, run to the door and slam it shut.
Any resistance on the door?
Yes.
What?
So they then try to open it again. And I scream this time, no, thank you. And I close the door again. And then they go away. So I didn't feel right about this.
Wow.
Right? Okay, thank you. Like, it was strange.
So when you went to shut the door the first time...
I did. I got it shut. He opened it again. And it's a man's voice also.
Now, yeah, obviously.
Difference.
Yeah, right.
It does.
No, it does. That's nonsense.
So I call down to the front desk. And I was like, hi, it sounds like housekeeping was just at my room. I just want to double check that was
the case. Right.
Because it is 10 o'clock at night and I don't feel okay about it. I did tell them that.
Yeah.
And front desk called to housekeeping and maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And calls me back and says, there was nothing scheduled.
Oh, my God.
So I say, okay, give me, this is a tip for
anyone.
Oh,
boy.
Give me the names of the security guards coming.
Yes.
Because I'm not answering the door anymore.
Yes.
So they give me the two guys that are coming.
Yeah.
The security guards are like 20-year-olds working the night
shift. They're just kids.
At this hotel.
Yeah. Probably high.
Yeah, probably. But it was, you know, grateful that someone showed up. They show up.
Right. They showed up.
I, you know, give them my information, tell them what happened. One of them leaves. I, like, request to have one stay. I'm freaked out. I'm like,
oh, no, I get it. Yeah.
Freaked out at this point. I have one of them stay while the other goes to question maintenance and housekeeping, like, themselves. Like, not just a phone call.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you stay out here. I closed the door again. I locked it.
Right.
I'm feeling like, okay, still kind of shook up. And I start to call our company. Because I was like, my rest now. Like, I had short rest.
So after they sent... after they sent the security guards up and then you had that whole debrief with them...
Yeah.
Did you follow up with the front desk?
No.
So after that, were they like, oh, yeah, we don't know where the fuck that came from. Just some, you know, weird fucking guy that...
Well, so I'm waiting for security to get back to me.
Yeah.
I'm basically still in the middle of this. And I, like, in my head, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to have to do a police report.
Do I have to call the police is kind of what you're
thinking. Yeah, I don't know if
thinking.
I'm going to have to change rooms. I didn't know what was happening yet. But I call the company to like let them know what was going on.
Yeah.
And
so
they told me to file an IOR.
Oh my God. Which if you're not an airline person, it stands for irregular, what is it?
Irregular operations.
I've never filed one, so I wouldn't know.
Don't admit that. But it's basically like when someone gets sick.
Yeah.
On like when a passenger gets sick. You like file this or
Hi, yes. I was almost just murdered in my hotel room and or taken advantage of. Any suggestions? Yeah, just fill out some paperwork. Okay, cool.
Thank you. And I basically what I was trying to get information about is like, what if I can't fly this 5 a.m. check-in?
Right.
Like, what? It's now 10 o'clock. Like, who knows how long this is going to take? I'm not falling back asleep.
Yeah. You know? No, definitely
like,
not.
I basically was not trying to get out of work because I wanted to get home.
Yeah.
But I was like, I am not going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, but basically, she kind of just said.
So what happened?
Okay. So I get off the phone with the company. I'm like, well, that's going to be nothing. Security guard comes back and says, you know what? It was just a misunderstanding. He's been told not to try and force entry.
What?
And I did. I kind of told him. I was like, that still doesn't sound correct.
What kind of fucking explanation is that?
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, there's nothing scheduled. Like, they do not do room to rooms after a certain amount of time. Like, they don't do room to rooms.
Which makes sense because I feel like, now that I'm thinking on it, I feel like any time that I've been annoyed to, you know, all hell that housekeeping is knocking on my door when I don't need them.
It's in the morning.
It's always in the morning.
Yeah.
And I always say, no, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah. So I was doing
that. And then I open the door and they're like, oh, I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, you know I'm still here.
Yeah.
Like, don't look surprised that you see me.
There's also not overnight cleaning because, like, they can't be vacuuming if the person next door is working asleep, too.
Right.
So, yeah, it basically did not resolve itself. And I didn't feel good.
Did you ask for a different room?
No.
Well, you should have done that.
I know. I should have. But it was also...
But you were probably all broken down, set up, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
And
I know.
I was a little freaked out that I wasn't going to be... I already wasn't going to sleep, but I was like, I have to be up at 5 a.m. I have to be up in a few hours to work.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't change rooms. I probably should have because then in my mind I was like, they're going to go yell at this guy, and he's going to come back up to my room as revenge.
So they knew who... So they must have looked at the... I'm assuming they looked at the security footage.
They
knew who the person was.
They somehow found the employee that did it.
Oh, it was an employee.
Oh, yeah. It was housekeeping.
Oh, it was housekeeping.
Yes. It was housekeeping.
Oh.
Is what they told me, at least. That it was housekeeping.
Yeah.
And that he has been told not to try and force entry, but it wasn't scheduled.
Oh, my God. I hate people so much.
So, but that, like, it still gets me a little rattled that... I don't know, like, even just because he works there doesn't mean that it was safe. Like, he wasn't trying to come clean my room at 10 p.m.
Definitely not.
No.
Definitely not.
So, didn't feel good.
He must, just fucking grinds the shit out of my gears.
Yeah.
Hearing shit like that. Sorry you had to deal with that.
It's not okay.
I wish I was there.
I do have to file a report.
I wish I was there.
Well, what are you going to, well, that's.
I would go found the guy.
Well, no, like,
I would have.
But it would. I was thinking about this because I've later talked to my husband about, like, what would make me feel safe. I've gone 7 years without, like, feeling unsafe.
Which is pretty solid.
You know, like, yeah that I know. Was nice. Now, I'm like, what would make me feel safer? And I'll probably want to avoid working on my own. Because, like, if I didn't show up in the morning, I didn't have a crew that was waiting on me.
Yeah.
Also, there's, like, tons of things people do. People get, like, freaking alarms to put on their door. I don't want to go that far, but I might start barricading my freaking door and sleeping with the iron next to my bed.
Are you going to keep the iron on or off?
Off.
Off?
Off. That sounds like a fire waiting to happen. Iron off, but, like,
I'd say leave it on full heat blast. So maybe you don't... It's not necessarily used as a bludgeoning device, but you could just iron someone in the face with it.
Yeah, just burn them.
Yeah, just burn their face.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to go about it.
It was, like, my training did kick in a little where I looked, you know, like, the closet was kind of by the front door. I did look to the iron as I thought somebody was entering and I was going to have to defend myself, you know?
Yeah.
So I grabbed the first thing you can.
Yeah.
So I think the iron is going to be my tool because we can't... I can't fly with pepper spray or any sort of... like knife, you know?
No,
like,
we can't.
Not that I would stab anyone ever, but like, you know, like the sharp, like
I don't know. I've seen the way you interact with people. You.
Yeah, I'm real stabby
yeah,
gal.
Yeah.
But yeah, almost got murdered, and like, I've never felt unsafe, and now I.
And now
feel
you
unsafe.
Feel unsafe.
I feel unsafe.
So for the audience, in terms of just context, so we. Most airlines, they have trips that are built where, for some reason, you can be one person working by yourself, and then you're on the trip by yourself. So you might lay over with the crew, but other nights you might lay over by yourself, and the crew might continue on elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So then you're kind of on your own, like you were saying, like you were in San Diego on your own.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, there's times where you're with the crew the entire trip. You're always together on the layover, always leaving the layover together until you get home from the moment you get started, from the moment you get home. Obviously, that's what I prefer, because being by yourself just sucks. Yeah. It's just enough. For me, at least.
Yeah.
But for safety reasons, too. You know? That's a big thing.
But then, I think we have talked about this. The Philadelphia murder, the actual
murder. The murder in Philadelphia, yeah. The flight attendant got murdered there.
Was potentially...
But she was with a crew.
She was with a crew, and the crew
so how did the crew...
Her.
There's like, oh, yeah, she'll be here. What? She's dead. What?
So I guess having a crew doesn't totally help. It should. Like, the idea is that you call up to the room if someone's late.
Yes.
You know, like, things like that. That you check on each other. So...
You do check on each other.
Yeah. That crew...
I think a 5-minute grace period is probably what is best.
And then something's wrong.
And then, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. I don't know. Hmm. Maybe, like, 5 minutes, be like, hey, you coming down? Yeah, I'll be right there. All right, well, we're waiting for you. Then 10 minutes, it's like...
You need some more contact.
Yeah. Something more than that, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I think I might want to, at least for a little while, like, be flying with a crew.
That's the way to go anyway, so.
I think I might barricade my door.
Barricade your door. That works. Mm-hmm.
And I definitely need pajamas now. Because that was another... I was, like, definitely naked and afraid. Yeah. Like, I was, like, running at the door, and I was like, that someone...
You weren't wearing anything.
No, because, you know, it's more comfortable to sleep natural.
I'm about to get murdered. Let me go defend myself while I'm not wearing anything.
Well, I wasn't about to, like, put clothes on first.
Hang on just a minute. Let me just get dressed.
Yeah. But I do think, and, like, we're told that you're, like, to wear pajamas or something in case of, like, a fire. Like, what if the fire alarm started going off?
So the only reason this woman survived is because she slept naked and her clothes did not catch fire. She suffered 72nd-degree burns and make a full recovery. PSA, sleep naked during hotel fires and you're more likely to survive.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to, like... Anyways, so I got to go get myself more nightgowns.
You poor thing.
I know. Yeah, I got to go shopping. That's what I told my husband, at least. I'm traumatized. Must go shopping.
Must now spend your money.
My money.
Spend some of his money.
That I just made on the trip that I almost got murdered.
Totally worth it.
But
solid payoff.
That was my last...
That was your last... That was your last go. Isn't it really... It really is remarkable. Like, for those of you who are listening who are not in our field of work, but are interested in our field of work, which is why hopefully you're listening and you're... you know, your attention is certainly grabbed by our stories and the way that our lives kind of twist and turn and all that stuff. But yeah, it's really funny how like one trip can be so fun. You get the time of your life. Then one trip, you can just be like, yeah, something really not chill happened. And now I don't want to go out anymore.
Yeah. No, I don't want to go to work. But
right.
I'll go back to work.
Right.
Fine.
It was funny. I was talking to my coworker, Angela. She was with me in Rapid City. She's like, oh, I have like a whole routine I have to do when I get in the hotel room. But hers is more like for cleanliness than safety purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, I have to wipe down everything. I have to check the sheets. I have to do this, do that. I'm like, that sounds fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
She's like, I know it does. I just have to do it. It's just, I just have to wipe down everything. Like, I touch everything. I don't care. I just assume it's fine. And I continue on with my day.
Yeah. See, I think our ignorance is bliss. Like literally up until this point.
I don't have time to worry about that.
She's probably gone.
Half the time we're dead, we're half asleep. We have to be up in, you know, 8-9 hours to go do it again. Like the last thing I can even allocate time for is like, oh, let me clean the fucking remote in the hotel room. I'm just not gonna do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna peel back the sheets that are forcibly tucked into the mattress and then die.
And get in.
Yeah.
Well, in my case.
Pretty much.
And die.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my where I've been lately.
That is where you've been.
Was in San Diego. And it sucks because that That hotel is awesome. Like, I don't want to...
That hotel is very nice. Yeah. For those of you who are familiar with San Diego, yeah. Down by the marina, just outside the city. It's a nice little situation down there.
I love the room, too. Like, it's
comfortable. Yeah, usually sometimes you get a balcony, too, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
So I don't want to make the report to the company and then us not stay there, but I do have to...
No, make the report, because then we can put it... Maybe they'll put us back in Little Italy again.
Yeah, well, I don't think anything will come of my report, but if there is... If this has been happening, or mm-hmm. if this happens again to someone, then there's a paper trail of, like, there's somebody in this.
Oh, for sure.
Like, there's an employee in here that is breaking into people's rooms, you know? So that's the paper trail I'm going for.
Listen, Steve, we're really happy with the job you're doing here on the property. We're glad to have you on the team. Just do us a favor and just try and not, force your way into a female's rooms on site. And other than that, just keep it up. We have you in line for Employee of the Month, and let's just try and keep on that trajectory, okay?
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll get that recognition you deserve. How about you're fired?
Hard to find good work around here.
Yeah, because everyone's lazy as fuck and doesn't want to work.
Yes and no.
Yes.
But
yes.
But we've obviously heard so many other stories of, like, workers being in someone's room in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, or, like, people have the one story about, like, the one shoe going missing. Like, apparently that's a thing, you know.
What do you mean?
So flight attendants, I don't know if it's the same story or if everyone comes up with their own version of it.
Yeah.
But people will be like, oh, you know, I was getting ready to leave in the morning and I went to the drawer because apparently she puts her shoes in the drawer.
Okay.
Went to the drawer that I put my shoes in, and there's only one.
That's weird.
Yeah, and like this, I've heard that type of story multiple times.
Yeah.
That like there's something where hotel employees potentially get in and either take things. You know, it's not like, but it's not like.
Well, I'm sure that happens all the time. Yeah.
It's not like robbery. It's like creepy
take. See, I just leave all my stuff out. Like, here, take it. It's all there for you. Like if we have the longer layovers, you know, that are like a two nighter,
yeah,
everything's just everywhere. Laptop, all expensive things, just out, ready to rock. I'm like, eh.
No.
Well, help yourself. Yeah, it's like a flea market in here.
I was never really worried about being robbed until I got my wedding rings. Now I just wear, like, I don't leave them in the room.
Yeah.
I take them off at night.
Yeah.
But if I'm leaving the room, I always wear them, which I guess I should anyways. Oops.
No, don't ever wear them.
I don't wear my rings daily. I don't really wear them often.
Yeah.
But in a hotel, I won't leave them in a hotel. But I don't use, like, the safe.
Oh, I don't use the safe.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Because I'd probably forget the code, then lock all my stuff in it, and then we'd be fucked, and then have to call the fire department to come get a crowbar and open up the safe, then we can go before we go to the airport.
Yeah. And mostly we're trusting people.
That is a great way to have your trip messed up.
Is if you can't get
it. Especially if you're, like, international somewhere. Like, my passport's in the safe. I don't know what the code is. Oh, well.
We can't
leave without you.
Yeah.
Great.
Food poisoning is a great way to stay internationally.
Ooh, food poisoning? That's a good one, too.
Yeah, because that's, like, so believable. Like, ate something weird here, you know? Can't fly. Yeah, and then you stay. Apparently there's a captain who, like, calls sick downline, quite like an international, like 787 captain.
Yeah,
she calls out often downline, like she is known for doing it.
Oh, like in the middle of the trip?
Yeah, like
really,
like she'll be like in Amsterdam and calls out. And
that's so wild.
The whole crew stays.
If only I did international, maybe I'd be the beneficiary of that.
Yeah, well, I don't know how the company's got to catch on to that, you know. But,
well, I mean, if you're a pilot, you're untouchable.
Yeah,
that's just kind of how it works in our industry. If the pilots get whatever they want. And we get treated like dog shit, more or less. We're like the doormat, and they're the foyer and all the good amenities that come with, in their eyes, I think.
Yeah, well, because you need them.
Unless you're the pilot that I had on my last trip when I got stuck in fucking Rapid City, South Dakota, which, if you made it to the poopy or poopy not segment, poopy or not poopy segment of how we now determine how good or not layovers are, which that may be renamed, but just saying poopy or not poopy is pretty funny.
I think I like poopy not. Anyways.
And so we were supposed to, and I do want to give a shout out. I know I poo-pooed the people of Rapid City, South Dakota from the last episode, but I do want to give a very light golf clap to the people of Rapid City. We endured a hellacious delay, and they are so nice, so kind, so pleasant, so patient. I was so thankful that I was not stuck with the sewage of people from Florida, like Fort Lauderdale or Newark, any of that crap.
Now you're just offending other people.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Is that not one of the worst routes in the entire system, is anywhere in New York to Florida? Yeah, kill me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's like across the industry known.
Across the entire aviation industry, it is Florida from anywhere, really just stay away from as a whole.
Yeah.
So we were delayed in Rapid City. We got in around 1 o'clock the first day, laid over, supposed to go out in the morning, then end up back home in Chicago. There was so much fog that was just like hovering over the airport. Like, you ever see that movie, The Mist? It's a really terrible movie.
Yeah.
You know, when everybody kills themselves at the end, then the dad is about to do it, then it's the army and they save him.
Wait, maybe I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that movie?
No.
It's at the very, there's like these creatures from the sky, you never actually see them, and they come down and kill everybody. And then at the end, the dad is with his family in a Jeep, and then the Jeep like dies, and then he thinks he hears the creatures coming for his family, so he had a gun.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we're all going to die, so I'm going to have all of you kill yourselves first, then I'm going to go last. And then as he has the gun in his mouth and is about to kill himself, then the mist dissipates, and then it's the army coming to save everybody. And that's how it ends. Horrible movie. Just awful. So if any of you have seen The Mist, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Terrible. But that was pretty much what the scene was like in Rapid City. It was just a fog enshrouding the entire airport. Like, you could barely see. Like, we were sitting at the end of the taxiway just before the runway the first time we went out to take off. And you could just barely make out the silhouette of another airplane behind us.
Oh.
Out the back door of our tiny windows that we have. You could barely make it out. And we sat there for 2 hours. And then we went back to the gate.
Yeah.
And then they let people get off, but they also let people stay on if they wanted to. So we got stuck with people on board. Not a lot of them. The flight wasn't full, but we had like probably 25, 30 people that just sat on the airplane with us while we were at the gate, while we were waiting for the fog to possibly dissipate.
Yeah.
And to try and leave again. And, you know, they want to make small talk. What I do is
connections.
Like, and all that crap. And they were very nice. So I was happy to be patient with them and to be kind and to, you know, do my best to help them, because they were reciprocating that to me and to all of us, which was nice.
Yeah.
And the funny part is so we get everybody back on board. We taxi back out to the runway. The fog is not improved. Like, it's still just there. It hasn't gotten any better.
But there wasn't any other weather, right? It was just fog.
It was just fog. It was just, and because
weird.
Certain airports have certain takeoff requirements, and other airports have different equipment. So for those of you who don't know, like Denver, Chicago, like, you know, all the major airports in the world have the most advanced, most up-to-date technology in order to keep the operation going.
Yeah.
The smaller stations, like a Rapid City, you know, a Greenville, South Carolina, you know, those smaller fields that we fly into and have layovers at, which are great, mm-hmm. sometimes don't have those same capabilities. So when I saw the first officer, he's like, yeah, we need to be at X amount of visibility in order to take off out of Rapid City, because we don't have the same instrument equipment here that Denver has,
yeah.
as an example. So we sat at the end of the runway for another 2 hours. And then a funny thing mind you, all the flights in and out of Rapid City that day, all of them were canceled. So no one was allowed in, no one was allowed out. We were the only plane trying to get out. We're not going anywhere.
No.
So the pilot comes on, captain comes on. It was his go-home leg. He was going back home to Denver. And so to me, and for those of you listening, a lot of pilots who are on their go-home day, if some sort of thing happens, whether it's weather-related or a mechanical thing, they'll do anything to get home. They don't care.
I was going to say, that's probably why you were the only flight.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. I think that was his motive. He's like, yeah. I'm getting home. Don't give a fuck. Like, we're still going to try, because maybe he's got to go bang some hooker or something. I don't know. Who knows?
Okay.
But that's what happens. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? There's guys who have complete second families in different countries with children.
That's true. Yeah.
That's all true. Not true?
Very true. My last two pilots were both, like, in their 60s, unmarried, talking about the girlfriends and the other children that they had with other women.
Exactly. So, thank you.
Oh, hey guys,
so God forbid he goes and bangs some hooker in Colorado.
Well, we, you know, want to support sex workers.
Well, no, I mean, I don't not support them.
Okay.
They're going to make a killing in Las Vegas this weekend for the Super Bowl.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm jealous of that.
Well, it's also the highest human trafficking day.
And it's the only state of which prostitution is legal.
Oh.
Is Nevada.
But not in
Oh, I'm sorry, Las Vegas.
Not legal prostitution of people who are being trafficked.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Just legal prostitution in Las Vegas.
Good. Let's protect our sex workers.
They're gonna make so much money.
Good for them.
Just sick amounts of money. And good on you.
Yeah, look for the pilots. They're loaded.
Yeah, look for them. Did you know that I'll get back to this in a second, but just for comedic purposes. You know what the get in the door price is for the Super Bowl this weekend?
No.
Just take a number. The get in the door, just to get it, you buy the cheapest ticket available. What's the get in the door price, you think?
A couple grand.
Give me a number.
Oh, let's say 2 grand.
More.
5.
More.
10.
$8,100.
No! For
a nosebleed seat. Top level of Allegiant Stadium, $8,100. Surely has gone up now, I'm almost positive.
What is
that insane?
Isn't that insane? Percentage, like, jump from like a regular ticket?
Oh, like from a regular game?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the highest ticket in Super Bowl history. The one in Las Vegas this week in Super Bowl 58. Go 49ers. Anyway, we were sitting at the taxiway waiting to take off again. The pilot comes on. So all the flights canceled, no one in or out. He comes on, he goes,
okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're sitting short of the runway here. We are number one for departure.
Yeah, because no one else is here. Of course we're number one for departure. Why are you buttering them up? Like, oh, we're number one. Oh, did you hear that, honey? We're going to make our cruise. We're number one for departure. There's nobody else here. No one's leaving.
Yeah.
All the flights are canceled. Of course we are the only ones out here. So then we taxi back to the gate. The flight gets canceled. And then... Another thing that grinded my gears to no end. So sometimes when this shit happens and there's a lot of cancellations in a city or a small town, all the hotels will book up because a lot of people don't have anywhere to stay or they're, you know, connecting, whatever the case is, and they want to come back to the airport the next day instead of drive home where who knows, whatever the circumstances are. So a lot of the hotels get sold out. So the hotel we were staying at Rapid City, the Alex Johnson Hotel, which is really, really nice actually. We'd stay there the night before. I called the hotel desk and I'm like, oh yeah, we canceled, we need hotel rooms, if you could put us at the Alex Johnson where we stayed last night, that'd be great. And they come back, they're like, well, unfortunately the Alex Johnson sold out, the Holiday Inn is also sold out, so we're gonna have to call you back and see if we can find someone else for you. Granted, we're in Rapid City, so what else can you find? And here's the kicker: pilots call 15 minutes after I got off the phone getting denial of Alex Johnson Hotel. They get off and they go, where are you guys staying? We're like, I don't know. We're still like, oh, we're staying at the Alex Johnson Hotel. What? I just called.
Yeah.
They said they had no rooms.
Well, so that makes no sense to me because how our hoteling works is that we have paid. We do a block.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we not own, but, like, we have those for, the freaking month.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not
it's contracted.
Yeah, it's so, like, when things... happen where like they need to put passengers in it, like United has to make money off that,
right?
I'm sure, you know, like they have to buy that back from them,
right?
So pilots must have something in their contract where like you can't, you know.
It just was funny, and this is not the first time this happened, where like I got stuck in a hotel lobby in Jacksonville with some other girl. We slept in the lobby because they said they had no rooms.
What do you mean you slept in the lobby?
We got I swear to God, I tell you, we worked. This is when I was on reserve. When we were both on reserve, we were on standby.
Yeah,
it was like a late standby. We got called, and then we had to work a delayed flight to Jacksonville, Florida. And we got to the airport hotel where we normally stay, and we get in there like, oh, we don't have any rooms. And we're like, what do you mean you don't have any rooms? We're like, well, we're sold out. Like, we're booked out. Like, we don't have anything. We're like, okay, well, this is where we stay. Like, we need to sleep, like we need to you need to do something about this. So they call our company and they're on the phone and they can't figure it out. And then eventually, and this is like, it's like 3 a.m. at this point because we landed at like 2 a.m.
I can't believe
so this. we her and I just sat in the lobby. We both fell asleep for like at least 2.5 or 3 hours, and then all I remember is some lady came walking in the front door of the hotel, and she was like, Hey, are you guys so-and-so, flight number so-and-so? Oh, I'm taking you out to Sawgrass in Jacksonville. And she, like, came and, like, nudged us and, like, woke us up. We were like, what? Yeah, sure. Whatever. And then they brought us all the way out. It's just, like, unbelievable the crap that can happen when we're, you know, away from home, which is, you know.
Away from home and, like, not, this is not your fault. Like, as a reserve like you're not aware of
right.
necessarily your rights, but like you could have self-helped and like booked yeah. anywhere else and like yeah. got it refunded.
Yeah, one perk we have is you can if you can't get through because operations has gone to shit and you're on hold or whatever, a certain time can elapse where whether you're on reserve or not, you can have the ability to self-help and or buy your own hotel and then get reimbursed later from the company.
Yeah, same thing for
that goes for any airline, really.
Transportation,
too. Yep, yeah. Same thing. Because, you know, like we're on a schedule, we're on a clock. Like we have to get rest, we have to get ready, we have to get restarted for the next day, you know, whatever the case is. We can't just be left for dead, you know, more or less, which is what happened to us. And that's yeah. what happened, you know, that's happened to a lot of airlines where, you know, when shit goes to hell in a handbasket, they, you know, people get left and they get stuck and they get stranded and it's like, it's inexcusable, you yeah. know?
Well, and that is also to the point of, like, my last layover where I should have reported fatigue. Like, that would be a time when you would have reported fatigue as well.
I would agree, yeah.
And then have gone out of your trip.
Yes.
Because you slept in a chair in a lobby. Like, you did not get rest. Your layover has to start
yeah.
later.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, we just, because it's such a large company and it's, like, you against right. the company, it doesn't
right.
feel safe to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's 2024, maybe I read our contract a little better.
I mean, yeah.
So that you're aware of
it. If anybody who is listening is not a flight attendant and you want to think about becoming a flight attendant, make sure you know your contract.
Yeah.
With whoever you apply with and whoever you get hired with and whoever you choose to have your career with, mm-hmm. know your contract. Now, coming from someone who doesn't know their contract.
For the, like...
I just roll with the punches and
yeah.
take it for as it is.
It's the times that this happens are few and far in between. Right, that like you need to be able to advocate for yourself, but when it matters, right? Otherwise,
oh, for sure,
so many people get by because you don't, you know, some people might never run into something that severe, you know,
I know
they need to help themselves,
I know,
but the like one time it does, then you know.
Well, fortunately for me, I have a pretty good layover coming up, and you also have the same layover coming up later in the month,
yeah.
One of which I've never done, you have done, and you've spent a lot of money at, but I was jealous you spent a lot of money at it because it's super dope,
yeah.
which is Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara, California.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to go for the first time. It felt like you were there with me because I was texting you the entire time. I think you gave me the restaurant to go to.
You're I
like,
did.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, go
it was
to
some,
this restaurant.
It was some shellfish place on the dock or like out on the pier or something,
yeah.
right?
They,
yeah.
They catch it right there. Yeah.
You
know? Spent $100 on this dinner. My husband was not happy. We had just bought a house. It was like the first trip
yeah.
I took after renovating
yeah.
our house.
Yeah. I spent all our money. By the way, oysters and urchin, fucking phenomenal.
It was great. I had a fabulous meal. I
yes.
drank a bottle of wine.
Yes, you did.
I can't wait to go back and do that same thing because I'll have a crew, but like I won't be like with friends again. You know, I'll be by myself. But
and you like the beach.
I do. I love the beach, especially the one at Santa Barbara is nice
because yeah.
it's just easy to get to. We stay at a resort.
Yeah.
Right on the beach there.
It's easy to just kind of saunter out of the hotel onto the beach, just be a beach bum for the day, you know?
Yeah.
Which, speaking of beach bums, I just placed an order with Beach Bum Threads, and you might wonder, what's Beach Bum Threads? Well, Beach Bum Threads is a sustainably run clothing brand that encompasses all great things about summer and surf. Beach Bum Threads was started by a young couple in York, Maine, dear friends of mine who have embarked on the entrepreneur journey. Their clothes are meticulously crafted and are made with tons of love. You can choose from a myriad of selections that are sure to keep you cozy in the winter in anticipation of your next beach getaway. As a sponsor of the Flight Attendant Forum, you can use a special promo code and unlock your inner bum. Use promo code BUMMINIT, BUMMINIT, at checkout with your purchase. And with your purchase, partners of Beach Bum Threads Clean Hub will pick up 1 pound of trash, keeping our oceans and animals who inhabit them clean and safe. Again, the promo code is BUMMINIT at checkout, and I cannot wait to get my order of Beach Bum Threads coming next week. I got a nice little hoodie, a t-shirt, and some stickers. So if you're a listener of the Flight Attendant Forum and you happen to be on one of my flights, you might just get a sticker from Beach Bum Threads.
So, are you going to have it in time for your layover? Yeah, you will.
No, I will not have it in time for my layover.
Well, you'll have it in time for my layover.
I'll have it in time for your layover, so you can wear it yeah. at your layover in Santa Barbara.
I'll break it in for you at the beach.
Yeah, Beach Bum Threads, guys. Check them out. York Beach, Maine. Phenomenal. But, yeah, Santa Barbara, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, so my trip is Santa Barbara and then FCA, which I'm pumped about. What is the end of your... Oh, you have Calgary before.
I have Calgary, which I'm thinking about... if I keep the trip, I'm thinking about renting a car and going to Banff National Park, because mm-hmm. Nick just went there and he said it. He went twice actually, so I know that's supposed to be dope. But I want to do it. I'll probably do it. I feel like that's a no-brainer, right?
No, you should do that. I mean, like, how much...
I mean, that's a perk of what we're doing, right? That's a perk of our job. Like, if you have the opportunity to go and do something like that, like, yeah. You should 100% go and do that.
Well, and we have...
Without even thinking twice about it.
We have discounts on rental cars.
We have discounts on rental cars.
Through our job.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah. So, it'll cost you, like, 30 to...
He said it was, like, bucks? 30 to 40 bucks for the day. Yeah. Which is easy, because you can just fly in, not even go to the hotel, get the rental car, zip out there... Do park stuff, zip back, and then be ready to go for the next day. So that's probably what I'll do, because I feel like I would be doing a disservice to myself if I'm not doing that.
Yeah, well, do your hiking and then have your wino.
Well, I don't know about hiking. Let's.
Oh, isn't that what Banff is? It's a national park.
Yeah, I'm not a big hiker though.
What?
Yeah,
I'd say you are.
I mean, I like it. I like
you, beach bum.
I'm a beach bum. That's what I am. I'm not like a Patagonia guy.
Well, you do great. You, like, walk around to sites, you know, like, do viewpoints. I'll go see the sites, like,
yeah.
That.
But see, sometimes I just like to just chill.
Yeah.
Because we're always on the move. We're always going, walk, you know, we're always just constantly moving. So sometimes when I'm in place, I just like to just chill. Just relax. Just like, okay, I don't need to move. I can just hang out. It's okay. Yeah. You know? So I'll just go and maybe take in the scenery.
You'll walk briskly.
I'll walk briskly 5 minutes.
AKA hiking.
Which is weird because I'm a very active individual.
Yeah.
But when I have an opportunity to just like relax and hang out, I fully embrace it.
But not at home.
No, not at home. Definitely not at home. At home, must keep moving at all times. Must keep doing things.
Yeah.
Total opposite of that philosophy.
I think there's the most time you spend on your couch is
when we're recording. That actually might be true. That definitely might be true. It might be when we're recording.
Well, yeah, that'll be a great trip. I wish our Santa Barbaras would line up, because it'd be so much fun.
And then we could go spend $200 at the seafood place.
But I loved the winery that I went to at, like, in Santa Barbara last time. Yeah. It was called Municipal Wines.
Yeah.
It was so cool. I actually just gifted their... This is not a plug.
Right.
I actually just gifted their wine to, like, a couple that I know that, like, loves organic wines.
Yeah.
It was super fun.
Yeah.
So even though I should try other places, I think that's where I want to go back to again. Okay.
That's fair.
So on your layover, you should check out Municipal and then go to that dock.
Yeah. I think that's what is a really underappreciated quality of being a flight attendant is being adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're someone who, and I, for those of you who have listened to the What Makes a Good Flight Attendant episode back in the very beginning when I first started this, you can hear what my take was. And I don't quite remember all the things that I said what make up a good flight attendant. But I wanted to hear what you think make up a good flight attendant. Because now that as my co-host and as a firm foundational piece of the flight attendant forum, I want to hear what you think for those. Because this is still an aspiring job. People still want it.
Mm-hmm.
People still want to do it. It is an opportunity to travel, to see the world. You know, whether by yourself, with friends, loved ones, you know, whoever it is, you know, it's a great opportunity in that sense. Yes, it can be a huge bitch and it can be a pain in the ass and all the things that come along with it. But in your eyes, I guess, what specifically do you think make up a good flight attendant, and what kind of qualities should that person embody if they want to think about doing this?
Well, I was a good flight attendant, so I always, like, recommend our job to certain people. People will be like, oh, like, I think my son should do it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's not just for everyone that's floundering. You know, I feel like people will come to me and be like, my brother, like, doesn't really know what they want to do. I think they should be a flight attendant. I'm like, that's not exactly it, you know, just because you don't have a pursuit, like, a career pursuit doesn't mean you should just be a flight
attendant. It's almost treating it like a... Well,
anyone could do it.
You can go be a degenerate and go be a flight attendant if you want and figure yourself out.
No, it definitely takes a lot of, I mean, like, obviously flexibility, like we talk about.
Yes.
Enough of, like, kind of not being in control.
Yeah.
And so it takes flexibility, especially in the first, like, I was on reserve for 5 years and I lasted those 5 years just because I could go with the flow. They literally tell me where to go. To this day, they tell me where to go.
Yeah.
I show up, things change on a dime constantly.
Right.
So being a really flexible person, as well as having lot of crisis de-escalation skills.
Yeah. Crisis management.
Yeah, management de-escalation. It definitely makes a difference. We do have flight attendants on the line that, like, don't have this skill necessarily.
Oh, they have the opposite, actually. They have the make it worse skill.
Yeah. But it makes a huge difference if you do have this, like...
And I love those people also.
Entertaining.
Some of my favorites.
Yeah.
It
makes a difference if you do have the de-escalation skill and just, like, the calming presence of it, because I feel like people will come to me and be like, oh, aren't passengers just, like, getting worse and worse lately? And I'm like, I don't notice that much because...
I don't either.
It doesn't happen in my circle. You know, like, if I'm trying to handle something, it's probably handled in calm. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm not adding to the problem. So just being, like, a solution-based person is probably really important.
I would agree.
Yeah. Being flexible, being solution-based.
Do you think someone who, I guess, is used to a, not necessarily mundane routine, but in the sense of someone coming from a 9-to-5 atmosphere, granted, everybody's different, but do you think the general 9-to-5 person who maybe has thought about doing this or, you know, has considered, oh, well, you know, I'm really tired of doing the same shit every day and, like, I like my routine, but, you know, I just feel like I'm getting bored and, like, I don't know, it's just kind of getting vanilla. Like, do you think that person, you know, generally speaking, is a good...
Make the switch?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can make the switch. You'd be getting rid of routine, but it sounds like that's what they're hoping to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're looking to be without routine,
yeah,
that's what this job is. And it's not that you're could be entirely without. It's just, like, your routine isn't going to be Monday through Friday. Your routine might happen on the Tuesday that you have off.
Right, right.
Or your routine comes from, like, every time that you get to a hotel,
yeah,
you've got these, like, 3 hours to do your wind down.
Or right.
Your routine is, like, in the morning, but it might happen at 4 a.m. if you have to be at the plane at 5 a.m.
Yep.
So it seems like I actually am trying to put routine back into my life, but in a sense of, like, on these off times.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that it's completely without routine. You just have to be able to add it in on your own time.
Definitely have to try and find your own routine in some way.
Yeah.
Obviously, for me, I thoroughly just enjoy doing shit when no one else is doing shit. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, the Saturday, Sundays, the after work, the before work. So it's like being able to go to the gym and, you know, go to jiu-jitsu and the grocery store and whatever the case is, and be able to do all those things when no one else is doing them, especially in the summertime.
Yeah.
Like, I know, you know, obviously people inundate the skies in the summer because of summer travel, school's out, whatever. I work a lot in the summer because I don't want to be going places where everyone else is going. People. I don't want to be. No, I really don't, actually.
I know. I was just telling one of my friends that, like, I love Mondays. And she's like, why? Like, what about it? She's like, I do too. What about Mondays do you love? I'm like, well, because everyone else hates them. Like, everyone else hates Mondays. I love them.
Love the Mondays.
I want to be out. I just, like... Yeah, weekdays off are my jam.
Yeah.
I want to be out boozing all night on a weekday. Because the next day, also a weekday, I don't got to go to work.
I know. It's pretty nice. It's kind of like, yeah, you just the flexibility of being able to just be like, yeah, you know, I'm going to have so-and-so days off, and it's going to be like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm just going to fucking fire the cannons, baby.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do it during the weekend.
And then I also think that kind of ties into, like, what would make a good flight attendant is, like, just the love of, like, life, or just things.
The lust for life.
Yeah, just, like, to do anything.
Yeah,
because
to be down for anything.
Yeah, if you're waiting for something to bring you entertainment and joy.
Yeah.
That, like, while travel
right.
helps that.
It does help that, yeah.
You have to be able to, like, we talk about our layovers, like, we go and seek things of entertainment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We always, I think it's, you have, if you're the type of person that, you know, is, I guess for lack of a better word, a slam clicker, as we like to call them, people who we work with who just get to the hotel, they slam the door, you don't see them until, and even like on the longer layovers, like the 30-hour layovers where you spend 2 nights somewhere, they'll slam that door shut and you don't see them until, you know, the next day. It's like, how the fuck do you do that? Like, that defeats the purpose, even for people who you know, work the international flights, the senior people, and they still do the same shit. It's like, yeah, you've been to, and it's like, why go? You've been to fucking Frankfurt 74 times.
Yeah. But that's
don't take it away from someone who would actually wants to go and wants to explore and wants to, you know, immerse themselves into that culture.
Yeah. But I also think a balance is really important because I, like when I first started, I'd be at like a like airport hotel in Philly and be like, I have to like go take an Uber right now
to go do something.
Go eat.
Right.
A sandwich. Just something. Or, you know, yeah. Go eat a hoagie somewhere.
Yeah.
You don't always have to do that. You know,
you don't.
There's a mix.
You don't.
There's definitely a balance of self-preservation.
For sure. I think I haven't gotten less adventurous, but I've gotten less feeling like I always have to do something where I am. Mainly because some places I've done all the things you can do, but other times because it's like, you know, it's okay just to chill. It's all right just to chill. Like, don't feel like you got to, you know, get out and go do everything in, you know, the shortest amount of time possible. Other places, I think that's valid, depending on where you are. That's also another great thing is that just the you know, the change of scenery. You don't have to go somewhere if you don't want to necessarily. You know, you can pick and choose your favorite spots. And, you know, I guess being open-minded is something that I think is imperative.
Yeah. Open-minded and then... I want to say, like, taking initiative, but not necessarily at work. Like, our jobs are pretty set up that, like, you don't have to be a go-getter and, like, go beyond, like, the...
Oh, you definitely don't.
The role of what I'm supposed
to do. You can be a pure minimalist and pretty much do nothing.
Do the bare minimum.
The absolute bare minimum. Like me.
Do the bare minimum, and it still makes a difference to a customer to do the bare minimum.
Yes, set up, it does.
Our standard operation is set up to help the customers. But I would say taking initiative, like, in your personal time, as far as,
for
like,
sure.
Take initiative on the layovers or, like, with making your schedule.
Yeah.
Because that is not done for you.
Yeah.
If you're someone that, like, your schedule, like, we'll say 9-to-5ers, like, their schedule is made for them, what they do during the day.
Yeah.
If they're not someone who manages other people or, like, has control of
their own or someone day, bearing, like, down on them.
Yeah.
About things that need to get done, and you got to work on this time frame, and da 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 da, deadlines. I think that is something that I don't take for granted, but try to always remind myself of, is that I feel fortunate, and I'm sure you do too, and a lot of people can attest to this who are flight attendants who listen. And if you are not, then you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, unless you come and do the job. But just to give you an idea, it's really nice not having anyone bearing over your shoulders and not having a boss, so to speak.
You are your own boss.
Yeah. You are the CEO of your income, how much you work, how little you work. You are the only person that dictates what goes in and what goes out as far in terms of financials. But just even just being at work and just being able to have that, you know, that feeling of relief, more or less, that you don't have to worry about, oh shit, like this was funny. Like, on the flight back from Denver, this lady had her iPad keyboard set up on her iPad, and I was reaching over the cup of water and I spilled a little water on her keyboard, and I threw a couple knives. I was like, oh, sorry about that. And I was like, something to drink. She's like, oh, I'll take a water. I was like, did you want me to spill all over your keyboard? Is that okay? She's like, yeah, that'd be great. I was like, all right, cool. So, like, I can do shit like that, not on purpose, but, you know, and it's a small thing, obviously, but, you know, I was like, oh, I'm getting fucking fired.
Getting fired.
I spilled all the keyboard and she's pissed. And then I went back over. I was like, you seem like you're really upset about me spilling water on your keyboard. Is that correct? She's like, oh, no, it's fine. It's dry now. It's okay.
She wasn't picking up.
And I was like, no, I just want you to choose here. Do you want a credit or do you want miles? Because I can tell you're really mad at me.
Yeah.
She's like, I understand. Okay, yeah. I'll take the miles. That sounds good.
Sweet woman.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say what makes a great flight attendant is like something like that, like just wanting to like shoot the shit with people.
Oh, I shoot the shit all day.
Yeah. You want to be able to have fun with people, but then also preserve yourself.
Yeah. I can have fun with people for sure. I'm really good at being a dick without being a dick. Mm-hmm. I told my dad that. He thought it was hilarious. He was like, oh my God, it's pretty funny. I'm going to use that. It's funny. I didn't know you could do that.
I'm excited to meet your father. Sorry, this is off topic.
My dad's coming to the Super Bowl. I'm having a Super Bowl. For those of you listening, I'm having a Super Bowl. If you make it this far in the episode, I'm having a Super Bowl party this weekend, and my dad is coming to the Super Bowl party, so he's going to be the oldest person here. It's going to be all young people. We're all just going to be drinking and eating and doing gaming, whatever else. So
yeah, that's really fun. Flight attendants.
Bunch of flight attendants. And I think it's funny, because I think another good quality that... don't know if there's a quality per se, because I think introverts can make good flight attendants too. Mm-hmm. But I think our job is more for extroverted people, for sure.
Yes. Well, because, okay, introvert versus extrovert is you, and I'm not just saying this to like explain to you guys or to listeners, but like getting energy from other people is like extroverted, right?
Yeah.
And you definitely, like, you're around, I talk to 300 plus people a day at work, and like that has to be somewhat energizing. And then you feel a come down, right? Like,
oh yeah, you definitely feel a come down.
Then I can rest.
Yeah.
But if that just drained me all day,
right?
You can do it, but like, your job might be really harsh.
It might be really hard.
It might be really hard.
Yeah.
So I would say for like introverted people, you probably learn what position works best for you. What, you know, probably learn how to manage that yourself.
Yeah, I think so. And I guess, and plus, like, obviously we get a break having the hotel, and you get, you know, kind of just a chance to reset and to just, you know, just like press the reset button, you know, especially like, I guess for like you and me, like we're always out shooting the shit with people for the most part. I mean, you know, I have fun with people, but a lot of times, and I'm a very extroverted person, but I think I, on the airplane, I kind of just like to sometimes keep to myself because it is exhausting having to deal with all the bullshit all you have people. To deal with all the time.
Well, I would say that there's positions for introverts. It's going to be the forward and back out.
There are, that's another, that's a good point. Yeah. If you are introverted, there are positions on the airplane you can work that are more curtailed to your personality versus others where you are front and center stage and you are, you know, the person that people are looking to for all things requests.
Yeah, your job is literally away in the galley.
Yeah, which I love.
Away from the passengers for most of the flight.
For most of the flight, yeah. You're pretty much, and yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, something for everybody.
Which is weird because I'm extroverted and I love the introverted positions.
But I would say that you do very well with being extroverted as far as like crew members, you know, like you get you get to know your crew very well. You know everyone's name.
Yeah.
I
get their whole story.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Easy to get along with anyone that comes on board passenger or not passenger wise, crew wise.
Oh, I had this
fellow crew.
My person on the way back from Denver. Awful. Awful. The super senior lady. Just swimming in the Kool-Aid, drinking it, you know, ODing in it. And one of the guys calls me from the back. He's like, hey, can you turn the lights down? I was, mind you, I was a fourth on an Airbus, so let's just start there.
Yeah.
He's like, can you change
the... He was an unneeded position. He was just like an extra body.
Yeah, sometimes they'll overstaff flights for no godforsaken reason. So the guy from the back called me. He's like, oh, yeah, can you just turn the lights down like before we do a save demo? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. So I started turning the lights down. She goes, what are you doing? Why are you touching the lights? I go, he just asked to turn the lights on. He goes, you can't touch it. We have to do the safety. And I just step back and go, okay. They're all yours.
Yeah, do whatever.
I said it just like that. Like, fuck off. It doesn't fucking matter.
I have a different approach. I would just let everyone do their
thing. And then she's like, oh, did you get your stuff? Meaning, like, did I get my safety demo kit ready for the safety demo? Because normally when you have minimum crew on a flight, that's who does the safety demo. And it's sometimes, when it's overstaffed, usually the extra person doesn't participate.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to, because enough people are there to do it, which meet the requirements. And she's like, did you get your stuff? What stuff? Oh, for the safety demo. I go, no. Well, you have to do it. I go, I don't, though. Well, you're row one, so you need to do it.
Row one?
I'm like, and I just picked it up. I took everything out, and I fucking spiked the bag in the floor. I was like, God fucking damn it.
I guess on an Airbus, it is helpful. Now I'm being devil's advocate. On an Airbus, it would be helpful to have another person because then that person doesn't have to dance.
They don't have to go back and forth, which for those of you who have flown on some of the airplanes, you might notice some people walking back and forth during the safety demonstration. Yeah. So
everyone can see it.
So I go to the back of the plane and I said to the two people in the back, because that crew had been together the whole trip. I just joined up with them. And I was like, listen, is it just me or is she not okay? And they both said, she fucking sucks, and that's why we don't go up there, and we called you to turn the lights down.
Well, so you know what? She probably bids purser on Airbus.
She teaches,
She probably bids purser on Airbus because that position, and I'm it often not on purpose. I just like to lead.
I know.
But that position, you were by yourself for the service. You were by yourself the entire time.
She doesn't
have to go on the back.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That might be why she does that.
It might be. So if you're power tripping... person who likes to take control and OCD individual.
Place for you too.
It's a place for you too. Yeah, there's places. There's a place for everybody. Yeah. And I don't want anything to do with you.
I think we've listed like a lot of things that make, there's a lot of things that make like a good flight attendant that aren't that, I mean, shouldn't say, they're hard to come by for everyone to have all of these things.
For sure.
But, like things that wouldn't make a good flight attendant.
Well, we could do a separate, we could do a separate.
We have to think about that.
We have to think about that because I would like to do that. Things that make up a terrible flight attendant.
We'll make a whole persona.
We can definitely do that. Awful flight attendant. We can just cultivate this person that we hope, but actually probably works for us. And there's probably multiple of them that work for, there's bad eggs everywhere in every workforce, but especially ours. 100%.
Yeah. So stay tuned for the worst
flight attendant ever created.
Yeah.
Today. Tonight. Tonight. On Dateline. The worst flight attendant ever created. Ever. Stay tuned.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Well, Megan's got to go get a haircut, right?
I do. You remember the last haircut that I got?
Yeah, the last time you got a haircut, I got in the car and I go, what did I say?
You said, what on earth did you do or something? And I was like, hi, Colin. What the fuck?
Because the entire time I've known you, I've never known you with not long hair.
Yeah.
So it definitely startled me.
It was. It was a big change, but.
It looks very nice.
Well, I'm cutting it again. So, new haircut, day off, that's all. You got to do all the hair stuff.
I got a haircut last week, yeah. I guess that's another thing that we forget about, too, as flight attendants, is that sometimes you fall behind on, like, your housekeeping items, and then you have, like, one or two, and you're like, oh, shit, like, I got to go do all this and fucking, you know, whatever the thing is.
Yeah. Especially when there's doctor's appointments, I'm like, I'll have a week that I have all of my doctor's appointments, and I feel like I have a hypochondriac, but
yeah.
It's just when I got
to you got to do.
So, we'll do that for the rest of our day off.
And I got to start prepping for the Super Bowl party as well.
Yeah.
So go get your haircut. Well, I'm excited to see what it looks like on Sunday when I see, because I won't see you. Today's Tuesday, so I won't see you till Sunday.
Well, that's pretty good for us not working together. We're not working together at all this month.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
When was the last time we worked together?
We just did it, but was it in January? Yeah, it was like early January.
Yeah, it was.
Early January, but.
Well, I'm excited to see what your hair looks like on Sunday, and I will see you Sunday. And we will see you guys on the next installment. And we will talk to you soon. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And have a good rest of your week.
Go 49ers.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.